Hello, my friend. Welcome to Profound Truth. And today is episode 93. Wow. Wow, this is beautiful. How you been doing, Raquel? How you? That's good. And today we have a special guest, Raquel.
Yes.
Who is this person and a special brother that we have today?
So today we have the honor of having our brother in Christ, our brother from another mother and father, but he is an awesome individual. This is Ronald Caraway. So Ronald was born in Galveston, Texas, and has been immersed in church life since childhood.
Wow.
Over the years, he has developed a passion for worship, leading congregations in song for many years. Although he has been a member of the fellowship for only 2 years, Mr. Caraway has been actively leading worship there for less than a year, bringing his dedication and enthusiasm to the community. His journey reflects a deep commitment to his faith and a desire to uplift others through music. Wow.
Wow, that's beautiful.
It's amazing.
How are you doing, Brother Ron? Huh?
Well, after that amazing introduction,
makes me sound bigger
than I am. I'm not that tall.
That's good, brother. That's good. And we definitely welcome you to be here and, you know, share with us some important and testimony. And talking about testimony, Raquel.
Yes.
What is this that we have today with him?
We are going to dig into who Ronald is and what shaped Ronald, because a lot of people usually see the person, but they don't know the walk, what their experiences were. And Ronald has a great testimony to share with us, to help us, to help build our faith. But before we dive in, there's one important factor. We have to pray. Yes. So let's go ahead and pray. Father God, we thank you. We honor you. We glorify your name for being our Lord and Savior, for just allowing us to wake up in the morning and do our daily routine. We don't take anything for granted. We love you. We honor you. We give you thanks for who you are in our lives, for being our Father, our Savior, our Messiah. Thank you, Father God, for allowing this opportunity to share with the world who you are and the love you have for each and every one of them. I thank you for Ronald. I thank you for everything that he will share with us. And I pray that everything he says empowers us to be better and helps build our faith. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
And I just want to share with everybody before we dive in into really our brothers, we want to share this title. Let me see if I can do that, right? And I believe I can do it.
I hope so. There we go.
I know it's in the slide. Like, I don't know if people can see it, but at least it's right there, you know, and they will be able to see later on in the different part. And Raquel?
Yes. So, Ronald, ever since you came to the fellowship, I felt something different about you, and God has really, really taken you to a different level. Can you agree?
I agree.
Yes.
True.
So, one of the questions that I have is, can you tell us about your early experiences in the church that shaped your passion for worship and community?
Well, I grew up in church. I'm a church boy. So all of that. I grew up in Apostolic Pentecostal Church. So I know some hardcore worship, if that means anything, but I also know long hair and no pants for women, too.
So I think I know that, too.
I grew up in a really, you could say, legalistic church, if you want to say that. But with that being said, that shaped me, you know, to have a deeper understanding of worship. That shaped me to have a deeper relationship with Christ, I believe, with that background, because we, even though besides the rules and the legalistic things, it still taught me to seek God, because it was more instructed, you know, that, you know, you had your time, that this is what we're doing at this time.
Amen.
But I will say that, to answer it back, that my early years, you know, I will say I depended a lot on the testimonies of my grandma and people before me. I think that's really what helped shape me today.
Okay.
Because I was young, growing up in church, I didn't have a testimony. Right. I hadn't done anything, and I was a church boy. You know, you would hear people say things, oh, well, I used to be an alcoholic. And I was like, I don't know anything about that. You know, people say, oh, well, I was lost and I was found. And
yeah.
I used to tell myself, I can't sing that song, Amazing Grace, because I was never lost, you know?
Yeah.
I had times, probably my teenage years, like most of us, I did things that weren't godly. I would say that weren't accepted. I had times that I wasn't consistent in my attendance in church, but I had never really had that life of really being without God.
Right. So. Yeah, that's important, because, I mean, I can relate with you, because mm-hmm. I, too, was raised in the church. And those songs that they would sing, I couldn't quite picture the lost part, because... Right. You feel like you never was lost, yeah. You know? I mean, yes, we're sinners, but mm-hmm. you just feel like you can't relate to the lost part as far as going into dark things and
right.
secular things in that aspect. So this second question, we're going to probably spend more time in answering it, because it has to do with your testimony.
Okay.
And the question is, how has your time at the fellowship contributed to your spiritual journey over the past 2 years?
Wow, that is impactful. And I promise I'm going to try not to cry while giving this one.
Let the spirit lead, okay. Me, brother.
But I feel like I can't really answer this without saying this part. 5 years ago, me and my former wife, my ex-wife at that time, we first visited the fellowship. And it was there in the service, the Lord met both of us, and he told us, this is the church that you're going to go to. And we both had to try to accept that, you know, and we were like, I feel God's telling me that this is the church I'm supposed to go to. And she said the same thing. Well, 5 years later, you know, I'm not, we're no longer married, but I made it to the fellowship kind of just by chance. Literally, it was literally by chance. Me and my son was like, well, you know, my sister, my cousin, Nahida, she kept inviting us, and she goes, well, bro, they're going to have a new service today.
Right.
And it's going to be at 11:45. And I was like, I already have a church. I don't know. And I was like, okay. So we woke up late that Sunday, mm-hmm. and we go to the fellowship, because we were able to make it at 11:45, because I had just purchased my first home. You know, thank God. I just purchased my first house. And we had been in the house for barely a week or so.
Right.
And I said, okay, well, let's go visit. We can go down the street. Since it's down the street, we can make it there. We go to the church, and on the way to church, me and my son were talking about, you know, moving around. And I'm a gardening type of person, so I love gardening. And I would say, no, but, you know, you have to stay in this garden. And God wants us to be trees that, you know, don't move, like we're planted by the river.
Amen.
And we go into the service. And Pastor Kevin starts preaching about being a tree that is planted. And my son looks at me, he's like, Papa, he's talking the same thing. And I say, yeah, baby, it's confirmation. But I'm still thinking, okay, whatever. It's a nice church, whatever. It's a nice pastor. He's real nice. He gives good hugs.
And, yeah, he does.
and sincere hugs. Give my plug to my pastor.
He
gives
sincere.
Real sincere, mm-hmm. nice hugs that will just
Amen.
Change you.
Amen.
And in that preaching, you know, he was preaching, and Pastor Kevin, I love that he said, if this is not your home church and you have a home church, don't come here running away from your problem.
That's
he wasn't like some pastors are just like, if you're having problems at your church, come to me.
Yeah.
Come to my church. Fill my church up.
Yeah.
He said, no, if you're having problems at your church, go home and fix those. Go, you know, back to your home.
Right.
And for me, that was, okay, this is a pastor. I'm a church boy, like I said. I know. So I said, okay, great. So we started attending. To make a long story short, you know, he preached about the trees, and I said, okay, well, maybe I should be planted. Me and my son started attending, and we said, maybe we will be planted here. And I told my friend, I said, no, you know, I don't know about if I should be there or not, because I see maybe one day, what if God wants to use me to sing or worship? Because right. I hadn't led worship, I hadn't preached, I hadn't done anything in 5 years.
Wow.
And I really had got to the place where I was just like, I believe in God, I trust in God, I know God, but I never thought that he would use me again.
Right.
I really didn't think he would use me again. And I had been struggling with an ailment in my body. I had been diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis.
Okay.
And that arthritis had made me sick for the past 5 years. I had been down. I couldn't really move a lot. And if you know, with rheumatoid arthritis, like RA, it really can take a toll on your body. I had went from being this big, muscular guy to being this small, skinny, little, fragile, 100-something pound guy. And I remember I was at the fellowship one day, and Brother Carlos, had to give that plug, Brother Carlos, Uncle Carlos, we'll call him, Uncle Carlos Mascoro, he told me, he said, this is where your healing will begin.
Right.
And I said, okay, all right. And I decided to join the worship team. I joined the worship team, and I had been on the worship team for a few months or so. And one day I was singing a song, and the song was about healing. Mm-hmm. And wow. It was about restoration. And I had been singing the words of that song, but I hadn't really applied them to my life yet.
Wow.
Because it's different sometimes when you're leading. You lead the song and you're leading people, but you're not really believing it for yourself.
Right.
And I was singing the song, and I just remember saying, Jehovah Rapha, heal my body. And I was like, okay. I go backstage, and I remember talking to Brother Carlos. And I said, remember you said, right here is where my healing is going to begin? Everybody leaves and goes on stage, and I get ready to move, and boom, I felt the Lord heal my body.
Amen.
And I go on the stage, and I go to sing, and I just felt, oh my God, I could run, I could do things. And it's like, you know, I got physical healing at that time. That wasn't my spiritual healing yet. And I was like, oh my God, you know what? God is healing me. And, you know, a couple Sundays before then, my son had decided he was going to get baptized. You know, before I didn't tell him to, he decided, hey, you know what, Papa? I want to get baptized. So
wow.
He decided to get baptized. So I'm looking at God is really growing my family in the faith, you know, mm-hmm. And I feel like I didn't have to do as much work. I was just, all we had to do was show up and submit Amen. Ourselves to the Lord.
Amen.
And the church is so welcoming. And like I said, Pastor Kevin is so genuine.
Yes, he is.
That he created an environment for us to grow spiritually. And since that Sunday, the church didn't just say, okay, well, yeah, Ronald, you're healed. Every member of the church, Sister Raquel, I remember Sister Raquel, even I remember a Sunday I was with the RA, I was hurting so bad. I don't even know if you remember this. One day we were getting ready to sing, and I was just hurting in every joint. And I would say, yeah, well, you know, the Lord will heal me. And Raquel goes, not yet, but one day you're going to get your healing. And I was like, you're right. I can get my healing. Right. And it was in those times that I started realizing, you know what? Claim that healing. Speak that Amen. Healing over my life. And as I start speaking that healing over my life and believing it, confessing it, that's when I started seeing myself grow spiritually.
Amen.
And
that's good.
It wasn't just me seeing it. It was people around church started saying, hey, I seen you serving at the door. I'm like, yeah, I do serve at the door. They said, oh, I saw you serving as a greeter. It's like, I do serve as a greeter. They said, oh, I saw that you were doing such and such in town, you know, and I started seeing my finances change.
Wow.
I started seeing the way I was a parent at home change. You know, I realized I was fathering my sons, being a single dad, the sole bread provider of my home. I started seeing God being in the midst of my finances. I started seeing, wow, I got a lot extra left now to handle my mortgage, you know, and that's a lot. With we talk about inflation and those things really helped me. And I just started seeing myself grow spiritually. And it was more of a thing that came from the inside out.
Amen.
You know, and then now it's every time I sing or every time I do something, people were just like, hey, man, you did a great job of worship. And it started those 2 years ago Amen. When I first started worshiping in God. And then it was God decided to. Well, yeah. I decided to accept the healing, and I started growing spiritually.
Yeah, because God works with you, and mm-hmm. he
reminds you who you are.
Right, and whose you are.
Yeah, exactly. You are a child of God.
Amen.
So you should have the confidence to know that He has you. He has you in every aspect of your life. He has you in your physical body. He is your healer. He is your provider. And so we constantly forget who we are. Mm-hmm. And because we forget that, because the enemy likes to trick us on who we are, the identity, who we are.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, something that I also catch in this part, you know, since we've been in church for a long time, you know, and participating in worship, doing ministry, growing in church, sometimes we don't see ourselves, those miracles operating in our life.
Right.
You know, sometimes, yes, God can do something for you, something for Him, but then when it's come to ourselves,
we're not confident enough.
Yeah, like we don't, yeah, we believe it, but we don't kind of like see it, you know.
Right.
And then when it's happening in our life, like my brother Ronald, you know, that's a powerful testimony that you've been receiving, you know, not just one, like continually, you know, and see the miracle, you know,
that's
see
right.
the result. I remember, I don't know if this is the same, but I remember when you were talking about, you would say that you have for a long time, you didn't be able, you were not able to jump or to run or
five
to
years.
Do wow,
5 years,
brother.
And even before that, as I said, when I was younger, when I turned, I remember it was on my 28th birthday. I turned 28. My birthday's April 1st, April Fool's, so that's why I love jokes. I love it. My birthday's April Fool's. It was the year 2015. I still remember this. It was 2015. Right. I turned 28 and I had a heart attack.
Wow.
I had a heart attack, and that was one of those God situations too. I had a heart attack, and as I said, that's why it wasn't the first time, just the arthritis, because I say that, I'll say this before I go into the testimony. A lot of times what we do, especially as Christians, before we run to God, we run to medicine.
Yeah.
We run to medicine. If you get a headache,
yeah,
the first thing we do is we grab Tylenol and ibuprofen. If your back is hurting, you call the doctor.
It's true.
And when you're there in the room with the doctor, you're talking to the doctor, you hear everything, and this is me. We don't call God until they say cancer.
That's
when they say cancer, then, oh, Jesus, I rebuke it. I need to call. And then you want to call brothers and sisters. I need the church to pray for me because they said cancer. But we don't
that
call
is so
God,
true.
You know. And,
amen.
And I'll tell you that, the reason why I tell you that, because I'll tell you the story of my mom and the heart attack. When I had the heart attack, I was down. And that was another time that I feel I was at my peak of my fitness. When I had my heart attack at the age of 28, I was a marathon runner.
Wow.
I used to run, bike, and swim. Every morning, I would run a minimum of 6 miles. 6 miles minimum every morning. Rain, sleet, snow, it didn't matter.
Wow.
I ran, I went to the gym, and I had the heart attacks. And so if you know the post-heart attack, you're dealing with a cardiologist. And I had been down for about 2 weeks, and of course, it took its toll, and my body was weak. And I remember being in the clinic to see the cardiologist because they wanted to do the follow up, and then they were going to see what we were going to do, like as far as treatment.
Right.
And while I'm there, they have over you, you know, this monitor that has the heart beating.
Yeah.
It literally shows the heart, and you can hear it, and just
right
wow.
the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
So me and my mom are there. The doctors come in. They look at it, they give me a little thing for about 5 minutes, they're in a room, then they leave out the room.
Right.
Then they come back in later, and the doctor's just like, okay, well, we're gonna put you on a heart transplant list, and we're just gonna see about this, and that, very briefly. And then they leave out of the room, and I was just like, oh, what? No. And I just fell out of the hospital bed on the ground on my knees, and my mom looks at me. My mom puts her hand on my shoulders. I just remember looking up at my mom, and my mom reached her hand. My mom reached her hand to heaven, and my mom says, you gave him to me, and I'm asking you to fix the gift that you gave to me.
Mm.
And that's the reason why I brought that up about going to God, because a lot of times if we have a problem, if let's say if you have a broken device that you brought from Amazon, you return it back to Amazon.
Yep.
If your phone, that's good. If your phone is broken, you call AT&T and you return it back to them.
That's right. Amen.
You return it back to them. Or if they're not answering the phone, you take it in and you're like, look, this broke on my phone. I just purchased this.
That's right.
Can you fix this for me? Amen. So it's the same thing that us as Christians, why don't we return back to sender? Return back to God. Return back to the Creator.
Right.
And that's an act of our faith, you know, of us saying, okay, God, this is the body that you gave me. And you've already said in your word that I'm going to prosper, that only good things are going to come to me. And you said that all things work together for my good. So you need to ask God for strength.
Yeah.
Strength to
endure. A lot
of people
think that's telling God what to do. But no, that's knowing the promise that God has given you. And going back to the word and saying, Lord, this is what you told me that I would have. You told me with long life, you will satisfy me. So then this, you're going to have to get me up from this bed, because that's a promise that you've given, that's stated in your word.
Exactly. And see, that's the same thing we do at restaurants. Yeah. When you order something or you go to a restaurant and you're like, nope. It said that it's going to have this, and this doesn't have it. And sometimes what happened is we get, I don't want to preach, but sometimes get worried. And we get heavy laden. And you know, it says in the Bible that he's already told us what to do. So it says, just like you go into any other, if you go in any facility, it tells you what to do in case of an emergency.
Amen.
And God has already gave us those instructions. He's already said, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest.
Amen.
So he's basically saying, okay, come to me if you feel broken. If you feel down, if there's something wrong with you, come to the Creator. Come to the person that developed it.
Yes.
Stop going to the car. When something's wrong with your car, you go to the dealership.
Right.
I'm using that example again. Something's wrong with the car, we turn right back around.
No,
sometimes, I just bought this from you. Yeah. Fix it, you know?
Sometimes we go to a bootleg dealership.
Right.
We don't even go to the car maker, which is, if it's a Nissan car, you go to the Nissan dealership. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we just go to anyone.
And I think spiritually what we do, our bootleg dealer, is Facebook. It's Twitter. It's YouTube. Something's wrong. You got an ailment with your body. First thing people do is they go into a Facebook group, or they go, oh, let me check on WebMD. Let me check this. Let me type this in. Headache with diarrhea or something. And then you want to see the symptoms. You go to God.
You go to God.
That's what I've learned to do over these past 2 years. I've been doing that. I've been, God, this light bill is $600. Fix it, Lord. You know why, God? Because you gave me the ability to be able to purchase my own home as a single dad. You gave me these children that I have.
Amen.
You, so every single bill, I know that you have already factored that in.
Amen.
You gave me the job with the position. You gave me the promotion.
That's right.
You gave me the degree. Right. You gave me the know-how. So I believe that when God blesses you, He's already factored in everything.
Amen.
God doesn't work by, you know,
like,
oh, well, let me just throw this together. So I believe that's the same thing with our bodies.
And
God doesn't just give you a body and not.
And that's it, And, you know, it's powerful that you say that, because even when we go back to the beginning, the creation, after God provide everything that we're going to need, that's when he decided to create us on the sixth day, right?
Right.
He didn't create us first, and then, oh, he need oxygen, you know.
What's he going to eat?
Water, or what he going to eat? No, he provide everything first.
Yes.
And then he create us.
Yes.
Right.
Wow.
Let us not forget that he promised in his word, he will supply all our
needs according to his riches and glory.
That's right. So why do we worry? Why do we fear if that's a promise? And he's kept his promise in my life.
So he's not a man that he will lie. He won't lie.
He won't.
That is true.
Right.
That is true.
I know for 30, 40 years now, I know that he's not to not be a liar. I've tested
That's
it and
right.
seen it. So Amen. He's, you know.
I know that also a little bit 5 years after, you know. because, I mean, it is crazy that you've been in church and you don't experience the power of the Lord, you know. And with this powerful testimony, I think we enjoy it. Even, I'm going to tell you, brother, even for the first time when I heard it, I said, man, God, you definitely are alive. Mm-hmm. You are not a God for dead people. You are a God for people that want to be alive. Amen. And you provide your miracle.
Amen.
You keep providing miracle. And this is a powerful miracle, you know, that he did. Right. But he continued doing it even with other stuff, like your finances. You know, like people don't think that as a miracle.
We take it for granted. We don't think about the little things.
No, we don't.
We don't think about those. That's a little thing. Like even if you just got a 30-cent raise, think about the work that had to do. Like God had to soften your boss's heart to be able to give you that.
Amen.
So if you be grateful, and like me and Sister Raquel were talking a little while ago, in the faith, if you're faithful in the little, those little things, those small things, you know, God's gonna, that's what he'll multiply it in. And I feel like right now, this is my reaping season.
Amen.
Because before I was always a giver. I was a giver. Even in those times when I was sick, I was still giving. I was giving. And that's why I think that I said, even for us as Christians, we feel that we don't go to God because we accept it. We accept our sickness, and we accept our bad parts. Like, you know, like even a headache, we'll say, I have a headache.
Right.
Or I remember my arthritis, like I'm saying my arthritis, but that's what I would say, my arthritis.
Yeah.
You know, or sometimes we say, in the Spanish, we say, mi tío. You know, oh, people say, oh, you're okay? Oh, you're all right? And they say, oh, yes, it's just my Uncle Arthur. You know, or we'll say, oh, it's just my diabetes.
Yeah.
You know,
you
and
own
we,
it.
You, we exactly.
Yeah, unfortunately.
And the Bible has already told us in Romans that life and death are in the power of our tongue.
Amen.
Yeah.
So you claim those things over yourself. So over these past few years, since I have been leading worship, that since I have got that healing and spiritual and physical healing since being at the fellowship, I've been more in that confession.
Amen.
When I walk into my home, I'm like, wealth and riches are in my home.
Amen.
Life and death are in the power of my tongue, so I am healed. There's sometimes that I wake up, like last Sunday when it was really foggy, my body started to feel achy again. And I walked in, I remember another brother at church, and he goes, are you okay, bro? He said, is it the arthritis? I said, nope, not right now, nope. The arthritis, I'm healed. It's just the devil that wants me to suffer. The devil wants me to remember.
Not today, Satan. That's right.
It's just like a Band-Aid. Mm-hmm. You put a Band-Aid on, and God honors the laws of the land. He already says that. When God heals you sometime, he heals you with a scar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because that scar is your testimony. Mm-hmm. So that people will believe you. Because most people that see me, they don't believe what I've been through. With the heart, the only way you will be able to see that I had a heart attack is if you pull my heart up on the screen, and you'll see every heart attack, I've had two, it leaves a scar. Mm-hmm. They said it leaves a fingerprint. So yeah, you're in medicine, so you know.
Yeah, and it leaves a lesion.
Mm-hmm, so, but even that has heightened my testimony.
Yeah.
Because I've noticed most people see me young, mm-hmm. but there's older people that tell me, oh, well, brother, you know, it's because I had a heart attack and I haven't been able to recover. And they may be 60, 70, 80 years old. And I tell them, you know, I had a heart attack too. I know exactly what you're going through. Mm-hmm. Well, what medication? Oh, yeah, I was on that medication too. Mm-hmm. But God healed me.
Amen.
And I hope that when I do tell people that it inspires them.
Amen.
Because I believe that God, when you belong to him, it's a lot different in going through rough times with God and going through rough times without God. Because I think I would have given up a long time ago.
Right.
I would have given up because I would have succumbed to my sickness and my mental health. I would have just, I would have succumbed, and that's what the devil wants.
Yes.
Because he comes and he speaks to you, you know, in those bad times and those down times, and he's filling your head with doubt, and when you should be filling your head with the word of God.
Yeah.
And that's what I said. I wake up every morning and I tell myself, I'm going to get healed. Jehovah Rapha.
Yeah. Amen.
Jehovah Rapha.
Just know who you are.
Jehovah Nisi. Yeah. Jehovah Jireh.
The enemy will attack your identity, and he will make you feel like you're unvaluable. Because that's his target. Mm-hmm. Like, his target is family, separating family,
right.
debilitating family and also taking your identity away from you so you'll feel like you're nothing. And so always wake up and say, you know what? I am a child of God. With your head up high, you know, like we should. And walk in the authority that he has given us.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So the following question has to do with your leadership role at the fellowship. And so the question is, what inspired you to take on a dedicated leadership role in worship at the fellowship? And how has that experience been for you?
I will be honest. And sure. I remember I shared this with Raquel. I'm the kind of person that, and I'm learning, as I'm learning more about myself, I feel like God is starting to show me my book and show me this is who you are and this is how you are and these are the things, and I'm learning to be more confident. I'm usually the last person to take over any position of leadership. I'm the kind of person that will say, oh, you want it? You take it. I struggle with that.
You're
a lot.
You're very considerate.
Yes. I'll say, oh, well, if you want to let your light shine, go ahead and let your light shine. You want me to give you some of my batteries? I'll give you my battery so that your light can shine. And I'll sit here and I'll hold you up. But what I'm learning now is as I do that, that little internal voice, I'm turning down the voice of God that's telling me to stand up. That's not myself, because the devil is not going to tell you, yes, take on this position of leadership. The devil's not going to tell you, yes, you can lead that song. Yeah. Yes, you should lead worship. That's the devil inside of me telling me, you know, so it's God telling me, hey, this is what I called you to do. So now I'm learning to step into my calling, let my light shine. Don't hide my lamp under a bed, as the Bible says. God put me to be a lamp on a hill, not to be hidden under a post. That's good. God created me, and what I'm learning to accept that I am a person with a lot of spiritual talents.
Amen.
But those talents don't mean that I'm outshining anyone else.
Yes.
That means that what I'm doing is adding to the team, that I'm adding to the kingdom of God. Yeah. Because every time that I say no, I'm not saying no to someone else. I'm actually saying no to God.
Yes. Amen.
You know, and there's a way of doing things without, being overconfident.
Yeah.
Of course, there is a true boldness that we're supposed to have in the faith of accepting.
Amen. Amen.
Accepting your calling.
Yes.
Because it is a calling. So it's the same thing as your mom or your dad saying, you know, like I see it. My mom calls me Ronnie. My family calls me Ronnie. So I feel like it's the same thing as my mom saying, Ronnie, Ronnie, Ronnie. If I tell my brother, hey, you go see what she wants. That's all fine. Mm-hmm. But she's calling me.
Correct.
Yeah.
She's calling me. And he's probably going to go and get the job done. And she's going to probably still say, thank you, son.
That's right.
But she called me.
That's right.
So I'm stepping into that right now in my life.
Yes.
And it's so great. It feels so good. Yeah. My son, I was driving this morning. He told me, he said, Papa, you look so much happier since you said yes. And I was like, say yes to what? I said, what are you saying? I'm not getting married. I was like, what are you talking about? He said, well, remember you told me that this is going to be the year that you tell God yes. And I'm like, I told you that? I was like, I don't remember having that conversation. He says, well, I also remember everything you told me, Papa. He said, you told me that this year you were going to tell God yes. And I said, I did. I told God I was going to tell him yes. I forgot. I got so busy saying yes that I forgot that I was saying yes. But I love that my son, who is, you know, now following.
He remembered.
He remembered. Mm-hmm. So I love that he's getting the crumbs. He's getting the residual. He's able to see the testimony because he's been there every day. He's been there to see me be this strong. And I can imagine he probably thought I was the strongest guy in the world. And then him to see me as the weakest guy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And then to him now see me being strong. And because my niece, she goes, she said, I think, because she's 12 now. So when I first got sick, she was a lot younger. She goes, I feel like you're stronger now than you were before. Because today at the soccer game, she jumped on my back to get a piggyback ride. And she goes, I don't really remember ever being able to get on your back. And a piggyback ride. I said, girl, I said, you know, the Lord is healing me. So
that's right.
There'll probably be a lot more piggyback rides until you get too big. You know, until the Lord says no.
That's
but I love that that, like I said, the healing is still, you know, from an outward.
Amen.
And so I love that my kids are able to see it, because that's also increasing their faith.
Amen.
And they will be able to share that testimony with the world too.
I love that, brother, because it reminds me to a king that the prophet Isaiah came with a message to say, hey, the Lord said, get ready and prepare your house, because he was sick, you know. Mm-hmm. And I love that point of view in the Bible, because it's connect us, you know, with a reality, with the power of the Lord. And this guy, this king, he didn't say that much. It's not like he went begging to the Lord, you know, Lord, do this. No, he just got remember that I have been walking on your path with rectitude, you know, with a straight path, following your commandments. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Right.
And that was enough for the Lord to say, Isaiah, I heard my son prayer, so go back and tell him that I added 15 years.
Amen.
He was about to be, you know, out of this world, and God added 15 years because of his simple prayer, but most important, because of his relationship with God.
Amen.
Right? And I feel like that's the same thing that, you know, a lot of that happened to me, because I shared earlier, I didn't think that God would ever use me again, because I used to be a youth leader. I was a youth director. Mm-hmm. You know, I said, and I led worship in those 5 years that I was sick. I didn't see myself on the stage anymore. And then all of a sudden, I said, still answering that question, is that when I stepped into leadership, it's just like now it's what God had already taught me before. It wasn't a time of that I thought that God didn't see me or he couldn't use me. I thought that, I said, I'm 39 years old. And I said, how can God use me in the youth ministry? And here it is, Josh goes, hey, would you like to be a youth leader? And I'm like, I guess. And now all the little kids are looking up to me. I said, I'm old enough to be your dad. Like some of y'all. And they're just like, but we still love you, Ronald. And I'm like, really? Like how could, and it's like, God's just like, I'm restoring to you the years that you sowed in tears.
Amen.
You know, and that's what I said, God's just like, you thought that it was that I could not use you again. But it was a process. He said, everything that I taught you before, guess what? Boom, step into
that's
action.
Right.
And now it's just like, you know how they say when you get back with your best friends, you just start right back off where you left. And that's how it feels right now, that ministry is, especially at the fellowship. The fellowship provides so many opportunities and so much nurturing and preparing you for leadership that they ask, like, can you do this? And it's like, I can.
Yeah.
So it's when opportunity, you know, meets abilities. And I'm like, well, you know, and I'm old school also. So that Latino part of me is just like, I'm willing to learn. I'm willing to learn, you know.
I can relate with you when you said, like, you were kind of shy in saying, you know, and accepting that God uses you and actually saying thank you for telling me I seem good.
Right.
That for is, me, oh, so it hard. Was like, that was, I connected that with pride.
Right.
And so for me, I struggled with accepting it and saying thank you until I heard PK preach about that, doing that. He preached one day and he said, there's nothing wrong with saying thank you. If someone tells you, you sing good, you sang great, say thank you. A lot of the times, I would answer, oh, to God be the glory.
Right.
That was
right,
always my answer.
Because you want to throw it back to God. You're like, no,
you
don't
want
me.
You don't want any gap to open up or to lead pride.
Right.
To have pride seep in.
Right. Especially with singing, because we feel like we're being like Lucifer. You know?
Yeah.
That's what happened.
Yeah.
He started, look at me, you know.
Yeah.
So sometimes it's really delicate.
Yep.
Yeah. So, yeah, that is true. We definitely have to be careful, you know, in the sense that we don't really take his glory, because that's something that we have to know about God, right?
Mm-hmm.
he doesn't share his glory with nobody.
Amen.
Right.
And but also he said honor to who honor deserved, right?
That's right. Amen. Right.
And in that sense, yes, there's people that God use powerful, you know, in many way, like people that has been prepared, you know, people that has a gift, you know, and in many other different talents, you know, like the Lord's mm-hmm. one of the talents that we don't probably highlight or recognize very well, or like are so impressed, is the power of self.
That's mm-hmm. right.
You know, the give of self. There are some people that you say, man, when they are serving others, they have a unique way. Like you feel this harmony, this peace internally, you know. Mm-hmm. And when they do something like that, you know, some people has this gift or, you know, be very, you know, like, what is this, the name of? I think when you arrive to some place that they serve you like, what is it what you need? They give you, you know, very
It's services. Very hospitable.
Yeah, hospitable. It's hospitable. That's the word. And you can see, wow, man, I feel the difference, you know. Mm-hmm. And the same singing. I always think that if you sing, you have to be very careful because it is so easy. Through the singing or worship, you know, even play an instrument, you know, mm-hmm. that you can take that away. Yeah, like the pride can say, oh yeah, I'm a good musician.
Yeah.
I have a beautiful voice.
Yeah.
And take it, you know. But like you were saying, Ronald, you mentioned something that I was meditating on, that everything that we have is he gave it to us.
Right.
And he just give it to us to administrate it, the child. Mm-hmm. And like I love the analogy that you use. Like if I have an iPhone and have a defect factory, I just send it back to Apple.
Mm-hmm.
The same way applied to our defect factory, which is God.
Amen.
If we have any problem, we have to go to the source. We cannot go in. If I have an iPhone and I go to Verizon because, or I would say Samsung, right? Because, hey, Samsung, can you fix this cell phone that you sold me? They're going to say, wait a minute.
I'm not the maker.
This is a wrong manufacturer that you came from.
Yeah.
And they say, oh, okay. I understand. So if I go to the wrong manufacturer mm-hmm. regarding God, to fix me or to help me to fix whatever is going on in my life, mm-hmm. then I'm going to have a problem,
right.
You know, because I'm going to the wrong source.
Yeah, because Amen. I say that's physical and spiritual because it's also, if you're having spiritual problems, what same thing with the cell phone. If you're having troubles with your phone, like let's say you're having Wi-Fi or mm-hmm. issues or data problems, what do you mm-hmm. do? You technical support and they troubleshoot your phone. But we don't even do that with God. Sometimes mm-hmm. we're just like, well, I'm having, like being open and honest and transparent. We're like, sometimes I'm having troubles with prayer. I don't feel like praying right now. Why do I feel down? You know, like not that it's a physical thing, not the physical where we're like, well, I feel down right now, or I don't feel like going to church. Well, you know what? Message God. Tell him to troubleshoot my body.
Good.
Troubleshoot me, Lord. And it's the same thing, you know, we... Like I said, you message into AT&T, Samsung, whatever, and they can troubleshoot your phone, troubleshoot your device. Mm-hmm. I deal with Microsoft with the computers at work, and they will remotely log into to your computer. They ask you for permission the same way that God wants us to invite him into
Amen.
Our lives.
That's good.
We invite
That's
him
good.
Into our lives first, and then you say, God, what is wrong with me?
Amen.
Fix what is wrong with me, God. You know, God, I'm sending to you what I can't repair. God, something's going wrong. God, help me to understand why I don't feel like praying. God, help me to understand why I don't feel like going to church. And you know what he will do? He will start troubleshooting it. He will say, well, what is it? Are you listening to secular music too much? Mm. Are you watching movies? Not to say these things are bad and, you know, some things are good in moderation, but are you listening to more secular music than you're listening to music to build your body up? Are you focusing more on your job than you are serving God?
Yes.
Are you focusing more on making money than you are actually building your home? Because God wants us to focus on our home. Because that's when right. you go to heaven, like I tell everyone, when I go to heaven, I got to answer for what happens at my house first.
That's yeah. right.
Even that before God asks me what happened on a Sunday, did I lead worship right? Did everybody come to God? He's going to ask me first, what happened at my home? Yeah. So I believe, going back to the testimony, it's very important that my children see my testimony, yeah. that my children see my growth. And I hope that encourages somebody out there.
Amen.
Because that a lot of times we, us as parents, it doesn't matter what age you are, you keep it to yourself and you tell your brothers and sisters at church, oh, pray for me for this, pray for me for that. And you pray with people there at church. But I make my kids, even, I don't care, I'm being open and transparent. I know some of the older ones, they may be, their mind is not pure. Let's yeah. just say that. Their mind is not pure. They're not 100% with us, but I still make them, hey, come over here, Poppy. Get on your knees.
Amen.
Come pray with me really quick. And I know they may not want to, but, and one of them, he's 22. I know he doesn't want to, but he still does it. And he's able to see, wow, yeah. look at the change. In these 2 years since we've been doing this, in these two yeah. years that we've been consistently reading the Bible, in these 2 years that we've been consistently mm-hmm. giving part of our money for the tithes for the church, that look at what God has been That's doing right. in our lives. That yeah. we haven't been hungry.
Yeah.
That God is healing, you know, Papa's life, and God's given us a car, Amen. And God's, you know, so I hope that answered your question. I could be long-winded,
no,
y'all.
That did answer and beyond.
I hope so. I hope we went too far over, no, I can talk.
No, you're good.
No, that's but good, brother.
I agree with, like, you say you sow the seed. Even mm-hmm. if they don't want to, mm-hmm. your kids don't want to do the things, you know, like go to church or, you know, plug in with the Lord. Them being present, them being there is the seed. Right. being sold. Mm-hmm. So I remember when I was going to church young and I didn't want to be there.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I didn't want to be there. Now I'm thankful that my mom forced me to be there, but I did not. I remember it was so boring. That mm-hmm. that was one of the things that I remember.
We were forced to be there.
We were forced to be there, but mm-hmm. now I'm understanding why. Mm-hmm. Back then I didn't understand and I would question my mom, like, why do I have to be here? And sometimes I would fall asleep and, you know, she would nudge me and I was like, there's no point. But now I see the reason why, because I wouldn't be the person that I am if it wasn't for that.
Right.
You know?
Right. And I don't like to, you know, beat up the older generation. 'Cause you know, I said, we're similar.
Yeah.
I remember, you know, being forced to be there at church. Like, you had to be there. It's like we lived at church more than mm-hmm. anywhere else. I said, I don't even have the opportunity to sin because I'm never in the world. All my friends are Christian. Everyone I know goes to church. I don't have the opportunity to, but I said, I am thankful for those. But then I also respect that my parents were doing what they knew.
Amen.
They didn't know. God has broadened our understanding and our knowledge now. There's even terms that we use, like just saying mental health. 5 years ago, people wouldn't have said that. You know, they didn't mention that at church. They were doing what they knew how to do.
Right.
They knew to tell you, come to church, come to church, come to church. They didn't know to say, to explain it, because in those times, that's what it was. It was, I'm an adult and you're a child. So I struggled with that a little bit with my kids, but I learned to start telling them, hey, Daddy, this is why you're going to church.
Right.
And this is what you're learning, and this is what I want you to focus on.
Right.
And you know, making them be contributing people in church, you know, letting them feel a part of it, not making them feel that church is a labor. I hope this doesn't go too much off topic, but I guess it's sharing a part of my testimony,
right.
I guess.
Yeah.
I make Sundays a big deal. Sunday is a big deal in our house. Sunday we go to church. And since we serve a lot, sometimes we're there most of the day, since 6:45 a.m. and we're out at, y'all know, we're yeah. at 6:45 in the morning and we leave at 1 o'clock or so. But I make sure that it doesn't matter how much money is in my bank account. I make sure on Sunday we go out to a nice restaurant.
That'd be good.
But what I do on Sundays is I never pick the restaurant.
You let them pick.
I let them pick.
That's awesome.
I always let one pick. And then there's mm-hmm. another son. Like I said, I still being transparent. I still struggle with him coming to church. I don't force him to come because he is 22, so he has his own life. But what I do is that while we go out to eat, he'll comes out to eat with us. And I love that our church has online, because by the time we make it to the restaurant, it's ready. So I pop it open and I put it on my phone. I'll say, hey, you want to see us singing? You want to see your little brother doing something? And I pop it open.
That's good.
And he still listens to the word.
Amen.
And he does. I know he doesn't want to admit it, that he listens to the preaching, but it'll be later on in the week that I will hear him say things. And I'm saying this, get a little tear to my eye.
That's good.
Happy dad moment. That he'll say stuff.
That's
well,
good,
your
bro.
Pastor
that's
said
good.
This, and I don't see you doing that. And it's like, wow, out of the mouth of babes.
That's
you
know, awesome.
That's God is not so much correcting me, but reminding me.
Amen.
And ensuring in me that, wow, that seed has been planted.
And at the same time,
growing.
Working in him.
Right, right.
That's how God works.
Right.
Like, he's reminding you, but he's mm-hmm. working in him because he remembered.
Yeah, because I will share, I'll be transparent still. I said for Seek Week, that's what I prayed, Seek Week.
Amen.
That I prayed because I have the two boys and I have an older one that I adopted also. He's also 22, so I have two 22-year-olds and all boys at home. And I prayed all Seek Week for all 7 days. I prayed for my boys to come to church.
Amen.
And I said, I was talking to Pastor Kevin about this. I said, Pastor Kevin, you know, they say God has a sense of humor. And I said, but I will chuckle and I will laugh at this and I will take it as a sign. On that last day of Seek Week, my son, before I go to church, I almost had one of those arguments with him. He goes, can I use the car? And I said, you know I got to go to church and you're not going to pick me up. He said, Papa, I'm going to be there. I'm going to drop you off and I'm going to pick you up. And I was like, you could just come to church with me. You know, I did right. that whole dad thing. Well, he dropped me off. And I remember afterwards, I had to wait outside for him to pick me up. But he was there already. And God was just like, I told you I'll bring him to church. And I had to laugh. And I said, you know what? He probably
that
didn't
was
make
a slap
it inside.
In the face.
Yeah, I said, he didn't make it inside. But it was confirmation that God says,
I'm working on it.
Mm-hmm. I'm working on it. Because Seek Week probably wouldn't have been the right environment for him to, you know, first come into
yeah.
church service. But on a Sunday, I still have my faith that I know the same God that healed
that
my body.
True.
Oh,
the
yeah.
same God that is working
definitely.
In my finances. The same God that's working
Amen.
On my mental health
Amen.
Is also going to touch
Amen.
My children's heart.
Yeah, so that is true.
Yeah.
There's no
he
doubt.
He will come.
Mm-hmm.
He will come.
There's no doubt. And you know, I know that we are kind of like approaching to the...
Towards the end of the
yeah,
episode.
To the end, but, brother, I don't know. I think you used to do this, bro.
Yeah, he's a natural. He is a he's a pastor.
You know, I think the Lord used
yeah.
his people accordingly, you know, because mm-hmm. this testimony, you know, because we now can laugh and enjoy you recover, you know. Mm-hmm. But you were out for a couple of years, you know, like
right.
you had to change totally your life, mm-hmm. the entire process. A guy that were used to run, you know, and then suddenly you couldn't even jump a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And things the guy that we serve, you know, to the glory of him always, mm-hmm. that he decided to do something about it,
right.
you know. And change it for good, you know. That way, now you can share this powerful testimony with everybody. And just if one person hear this powerful testimony and believe that God is still making miracle. You know, this miracle is not just for the Jesus time, you know, the apostle time. No,
right.
He is still He's making miracle.
Yeah, he is the same miracle
God.
Worker.
Amen, amen. And I'm really happy that we had the opportunity to share some testimony, powerful testimony, because I'm going
to
tell you, guys, to have a healing process, you know, believing that God is healing, it's not that easy, you know,
right.
because I remember the lady with the blood issue.
The issue of blood.
Yeah. Do you remember that she, according to the Bible, spent everything that she had?
Mm-hmm.
12 years suffering these issues, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then suddenly she started hearing about Jesus.
Yeah.
And she said, hey, what do I have to lose? I already invest everything looking for some help, you know. So let me try Jesus. Amen.
And that was a good try
because Amen. That's it.
But I love the story that of the man that had been waiting for healing, and I love that his friends lowered him through the roof.
Oh yeah,
I won't go all the way into that because that's kind of a long story. But his friends, and I believe that's the thing that God is calling us mm-hmm. believers to do. That when you see your friend struggling. That I had a lot of key friends, and I say I reach out my cousin Nahida, great, because even though she didn't physically bring me in, but just her inviting us to the fellowship, Carlos Moscoto, Raquel telling me this is where my healing began, what they were telling me, they were literally lowering me through the roof, they were leading me to Jesus. They did not tell me.
Well, I saw value in you. I mean. The value that you didn't see in yourself, I was telling you, this is what I see, and this is what Jesus sees as well.
Right.
And then
I remember you getting on me one day backstage, and I was like, I don't know, I'm too country. And she goes, no, you're versatile, and that's how God uses your voice. You can sing all kinds of songs. And I'm like, I can?
Of
really?
Course. Of course. So, and now you're seeing it. Wait a minute. I'm God's child. I have this ability. He's given me this ability, and I accept this ability. This is a talent. This is a gift that he's given me. And so when you're at that point where you're like accepting it, yes, I'm a child of God. Of course I deserve this. Of course I'm valued. Mm. Why not? You're a child of God. You should have more value. You know?
Yeah.
You're RSVP status, right? You know?
I know we have value because he is with us, right? Mm. And he paid the price, you know, on the cross mm-hmm. for you and for me. And you know, I'm working in there. In one episode, I believe next episode maybe, this episode will be called On the God Grace, like understanding God grace. Mm-hmm. And I love that topic because sometimes we don't understand how beautiful is our God.
Right.
You know, that he provide the solution. He provide everything that we need to be able to connect back to him.
Amen.
Because it was cut off, you know, when man decided to go the wrong way, disobedience, unfortunately, that opened the whole curse to the earth. But Jesus, in the same spot, God provide also Amen. The solution.
Amen.
And that's what we definitely are talking today, that Jesus, our Lord, is still a miracle maker. Amen. And Amen. Raquel,
yes,
I'm
sir.
Very happy that my brother Ronald was able to join it today.
This is a blessing. We're honored to have you on. I hope this is not the last.
I hope this is not the last.
Just
you
hope
know.
I don't say getting a season of no. Right now is my season of yes.
No, I think there's no going back.
Ronald. Remember when you asked me, the first thing I said, yes. I said, I didn't know any detail. Yeah. I just said, yes. Yes.
And that's how, I mean, starting the year of 2024, I said, okay, God, I'm going to stretch myself. I'm going to do things that I'm not comfortable doing. Mm. Because, okay, I'm comfortable, you know, worshiping because that's what I've done all my youth. That's what I've done mm-hmm. practically all my life. But I wasn't comfortable doing this. Ooh, okay. I wasn't comfortable interpreting, so you know. Much. So I'm stretching myself. Because I know God has more for me, and I know that I can be more useful in the kingdom of God. Right. So,
sadly, we had to definitely end it, you know. Mm-hmm. And of course, we want everybody to share our video, you know, to send it to somebody because mm-hmm. you don't know who is the person right. waiting for that miracle.
Right.
Yeah. And sometimes it takes, you know, for you to listen to another brother, mm-hmm. his powerful testimony, you know, and how God has been able to do miracle.
Yeah.
And, you know, just like that, continue studying the scripture, believing, you know, have faith, use that faith that God already provided us, and start believing. Amen. Sometimes a miracle can be immediately done, but sometimes it might be progressive, you know, because God wants a purpose.
Amen.
You
know? Amen.
Like your brother said, Brother Ronald, you said that God leave this card for you to share that testimony, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that. So thank you, Brother Ronald. Amen. I appreciate
thanks
it.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Raquel. And see you next on the next episode.
Yes.
Profound Truth. God bless you, everybody.
Bye-bye.